That's really good. I'm impressed. I won't take a lot of your time tonight. There is some hot barbecue back there, a lot of treats, and I would never stand between a Baptist and barbecue. It's not good practice for your health. I do want to take just a few moments tonight to read a few passages of Scripture. I think it's so important. If you got your Bibles, you want to read along with me. It's good to have the children in here as well, and we read this story about Christ. Next Sunday, I will be preaching a Christmas-based message, and then next Sunday night at this time, we will be observing the Lord's Supper as a church family. And so I do want to encourage you, this next Sunday is going to be a big day for us. We're going to celebrate the birth of our Savior, and we're going to celebrate His death as well, because His death means our salvation. Let's look at a few passages of Scripture here. In Luke chapter 1, I'm not going to preach a sermon. I just want to share a few thoughts with you. I want to share a little bit from the story and just a few thoughts I want to give you centered around Christ here at Christmas. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David," meaning he's of the lineage of David. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And you go down a little further, you go down to verse 67 of the same chapter. You read about another man who was born about this time. His name was John the Baptist. It says, "And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercies promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert to the day of his showing unto Israel." I read these two passages of Scripture because one of them is so important to us at this time of year. We stop and we remember the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ and how important that is to us. And next Sunday we'll talk about his arrival, his announcement, his agenda, those kind of things, and what his virgin birth means to us. But I think about John the Baptist, who also his birth was talked about at this time. And John's purpose was to be a light. It says that he was to give knowledge of the salvation unto his people, that he's going to be a prophet of the highest, to go before the Lord and prepare his ways. And I thought about that, and I thought, what are some ways that we could be like John the Baptist? What are some ways that we could lift up Christ at Christmas? We know that Jesus is the reason for the season. But I have to stop and wonder sometimes when I go shopping and when I go out and about and you see all the commercialism, you see all the things that you see on TV and in the malls. And I mean, it's almost irritating to me. I love Christmas. I do. Don't get me wrong. But it's like we start Christmas as soon as October rolls around. And it's really all centered around so many things. But I wonder how much of it's actually centered around celebrating Christ. It's amazing to me how at Christmas time, churches will be sometimes the first places to close their doors and say, well, it's a time to be around family. Well, really, Christmas is centered around Christ. I find that December is so easy to rush through that it becomes really, instead of becoming a time to really focus on Christ and His birth and His purpose and all of those things, it becomes more of a to-do list than anything else. There have been times in my adult life where I've dreaded Christmas because it's been nothing but a hassle. And it's become so commercialized and so merchandised that I almost dread it because of the indebtedness, the anguish of trying to find the perfect gift, or the hassle of travel to please family members, because if you're not at this family member's house on this day at this time, they're not happy with you. But if you are there, then this family member's not happy with you. By the way, you can fix that at Thanksgiving. Just bring up the election, and then nobody will want you around for Christmas. Follow me for more holiday tips. They won't care if you show up. But Christmas is about Christ. And I think of all the times that we ought to slow down, it's Christmas, and it's really the time we speed up the most, probably. We crank up the intensity and we crank up everything else. And we ought to slow down and we ought to reflect on God's blessings, the birth of His Son, our Savior. So how can we make this unique month a more Christ-centered month? I'm going to give you five ways that you can be like John, that you can lift up Christ at Christmas. Number one, trust Him. If there is one thing that the human element of Christmas, of the Christmas story teaches us, it teaches us how to trust a sovereign God. I mean, even in Mary's story, Mary is told something in this salutation that she is going to conceive and bear a child. And you're looking at Mary, she is having a difficult time with this. She's not only young, she's unmarried, and she's a virgin. How can this be? God says, trust me. Joseph struggled with all of this as well. God says to Joseph, trust me. God in these moments is teaching us that in the fullness of time He works. Galatians tells us in the fullness of time God sent forth His Son. And I want you to know that the Christmas story, the Christmas time, one of the ways that we can lift up Christ during Christmas is learning how to trust God more than ever. If Christmas has taught us nothing, it's taught us that we can trust God with the things that we think are sometimes difficult or impossible. There may be some of you here today that there's an area of your life where you're struggling to trust God. If Mary and Joseph and the story of Christmas teaches us nothing, it teaches us that we can trust God. Luke 1, 37, 38 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, how can this be? I don't even know a man. I've never known a man. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And then Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. You know what she's saying when she says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord? I am yours. Do with me what you want to do. I am trusting you with that which seems impossible. Be unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So one way we can lift up Christ during Christmas is learn how to trust Him. And other people see you trust Him. Number two, show love in His name. Visit a hospital. Next Wednesday, we're going to go Christmas caroling as a church this Wednesday coming up. Go Christmas caroling. Get out of your comfort zone. Go with your church. Minister to homeless people. Find a way to reach past the busyness and the burdens of your life to make Christmas about somebody else. So often we make Christmas about us, about our wants, our desires, our holiday plans, our busyness. We make it burdens, but one of the ways that we can exalt Christ during Christmas is to show love in His name. Matthew 25:40 says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of one of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." Christmas is a great time to show love to other people. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Some of you have massive families. The Terrells have massive families. The Denny side has massive families. And you will gather up and there will be 20 and 30 and 40 of you in a home at a time. And for that, in some ways I envy you, in some ways I don't. But there's any number of people that have nobody. Everybody in this room is blessed beyond measure in some capacity or another. But there are so many that are not, that have less or have nothing, have nobody. One of the ways that you can exalt Christ in Christmas is to show love in His name. Number three, one of the ways that we can lift up Christ during Christmas is teach your children the Christmas story. You know, we don't have to wait to December 25th to read the Christmas story to our church and to our families. One of the reasons why I read so many verses tonight is because I want to make sure that our children don't miss the meaning of this season. I mean, our world does such a great job of exalting Santa Claus. And our children, you know, they see that and, you know, that is what it is. And we're going to leave that right there where it's at. But I wonder, do we give Christ the same amount of exaltation and attention and praise that we give the holiday in other areas? I want to make sure that our children don't miss out on what Christmas is really all about. And I wonder if our children could ever learn that if there were no presents under the tree, that Christmas is still special and wonderful. You know, that we gather as a family, we celebrate the greatest gift ever given, which is the Son of God who came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died for us that we might have the gift of eternal life. And I think when we teach our children the Christmas story, I want to encourage you as families to gather around and talk about Christ at Christmas. And it'll help center our hearts around the reason for the season. Luke said this. He said at the beginning of this chapter, "It seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things." What things? The things concerning Christ. Concerning His announcement, His arrival, His agenda, why He came, how He came. Number four, one of the ways that we can lift up Christ during Christmas is give to Him. In a self-centered world, it's far too easy to teach our children to be selfish. Children are already selfish by nature. And so are we. We're selfish people. We want what we want when we want it. Christmas is that rare time of year when the spirit of generosity tends to shine forth in most people, and it doesn't always show forth during the rest of the year. People tend to be a little more generous this time of year. We love to give gifts to those that we love. And I think gifts are good. Gifts are a wonderful thing. They're an expression of our love. That's how God showed His love toward us, isn't it? The Bible says that God proved His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we love to give those gifts. And even in this time of year, we're even more giving to strangers. If you noticed in your shopping, everybody's asking you to round up, to give a donation. People are ringing bells asking you to give, 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 give. You know, we need to make sure that in Christmas, when we're giving gifts, that we don't leave out Jesus. And so often we give Jesus so little. The one who gave so much. Do you ever notice, if you have multiple children, my wife and I, we do this. We have four children. And all you guys with young babies, enjoy Christmas right now where their toys are $12 each. You can get most of them at TJ Maxx. Enjoy that, because that all changes pretty soon. They want cars and Xboxes and phones and stuff. But I remember with our children, my wife would always agonize over every child having the same amount of stuff. You know, I mean, did I spend as much on this child? And we're like, no, we didn't like that child as much as this child this year. That child wasn't very good this year. We're going by the list. You know, no, but you know, even if a child was rotten, and you know they're rotten, and you're like, yeah, but I got to spend on Junior as much as I did, you know, her. And we try to give it all, and we give so much. You ever notice how exhausted and emotionally spent you are when Christmas morning comes, and you're, as a parent, you're just thankful it's over? You're like, let's just eat and take a nap. And we pay such attention to how much we give our children. I wondered if maybe we paid as much attention to how much we give to God, if that wouldn't exalt Jesus. If people saw me, I mean, you see these people, right? They're agonizing over gifts. Black Friday isn't what it used to be thanks to the internet. But people agonizing and anguish. Movies have been made about getting the perfect gift and going through great lengths and extents to get that gift for your kid. I mean, do we try that hard to give to Christ our time, our talents, our treasures? Paul Chappell said that when their children were young, they used to give them tangible items to bring to the church to give as Christmas gifts to Jesus. Either personally or as a family, they would find a way to give to the Lord tangible things so the children could learn to be generous and giving. Matthew 2:11 says, "And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him." Part of worship is giving to the Lord. And part of giving is much more than money. It's giving of myself to him, my service, my time. They fell down and they worshiped him, and they opened their treasures and they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The last thing I want to share with you, the fifth way that we can lift up Christ this year, is tell somebody about him. I said this the other day. The greatest way to lift up Jesus Christ is to tell somebody about Jesus. And I know so many Christians that this is so far out of their comfort zone to actually strike up a conversation and talk about Jesus. But I want to say this to you. Christmas is probably the easiest time of year for you to approach that subject with somebody. People are more apt to listen to you this time of year. For whatever Christmas is, for whatever some people make it out to be, I know some people are ball humbug. Christmas is, you know, it's all pagan, it's all this. And some people, Christmas is all of this over here. Some people are on both sides of the extreme. And some people hate Christmas trees and they hate all of that stuff. Listen to me. For all that that is, and for all the commercialism, and for all the things about Christmas maybe that are not Christ-centered, Christ, in his infinite wisdom, has provided us a season and a time for the whole world to stop and at least subconsciously, if not consciously, subconsciously acknowledge that God did something amazing by sending his son, Jesus. And for whatever Christmas is, it is a time when people are maybe looking for answers, open to conversations. Maybe it's a time for us to ask a coworker about their holiday traditions, share ours, bring a plate of Christmas cookies over to the neighbors, invite someone to a church service, share the gospel with them. It's a wonderful time to tell people what Christmas is really all about. It's about Jesus and why he came. And it's a time when people are most likely to stop and listen to you. Maybe you have somebody in your life, co-worker, somebody that you go to school with, maybe somebody that you're involved in a team with, whatever it is. There's somebody in your life that you have wanted to talk to them about church or about Christ. Next Sunday is the perfect time to invite them. They're more likely, statistics will show you, they are more likely to come next Sunday to hear the gospel than ever before. And if you can't muster up the strength to tell them about Jesus, just invite them to church. They're more likely to come next Sunday than ever before, and I will tell them about Jesus. And we will lift him up together. This is why John the Baptist was born, to tell others about Jesus. This is what the shepherds did. They told others about Jesus. Luke 2, verses 17 and 18 says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that they'd heard, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." This is what Christmas is about. It's about lifting up Christ. I want to end by saying this. I don't know everybody in this room. And so I would dare not ever dismiss this service without telling everybody in here this, that Christmas is simply about Christ. It's not about presents. Hey, listen, it's not even really about family. Families ought to gather. They ought to love each other. They ought to spend time together and count God's blessings upon their life. But Christmas is about Christ. That God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time. Before the foundation of the world, God ordained that he would send his Son, and in the fullness of time, he did. He was born of a virgin, not the seed of a man, but he was born the seed of a woman, that he might be sinless, that he might live a life that you can't live, so that he might go to a cross and die a death that you couldn't die. And I want to tell you, the greatest gift you could ever receive is the gift of eternal life that comes only by knowing Jesus, the reason for Christmas. If you don't know him, please come and talk to me. I'd love to introduce you to him, the Christ whom Christmas is all about. Let's all stand together. I appreciate your time. Thank you to our choir. Thank you to our children, those who worked with our children. We will have a dismissal prayer. We're going to go back to the back and have a fellowship together. We're going to ask that God will just bless our time together and bless this meal. Enjoy it together. Celebrate Christ this week. Next Sunday, we'll Wednesday night be back here so that we can go Christmas caroling together. Next Sunday, come back, bring a friend with you. Let's fill this house up and tell people about Christ. And let's lift him up as you're going throughout your week. Lift up Christ. Think about these things. Take them with you and try to exalt him during this holiday season, all right? Let's go to God in prayer and be dismissed, and let's ask the blessing upon our food as well. Brother Bo, would you do that for us at this time?